Hello. Your guide for the tour of Williamstown is David Anderson. For the past 31 years, he and his family have been licensed tenants at the Bethune Thompson House, living there full time. In normal times, they give a tour of the inside of the lovely house, but with COVID, we cannot. The small back extension to the south is the oldest domestic structure in Ontario, built by Peter Ferguson, an early loyalist. Built in 1784, in the poteau sur sol style of timber frame, where the logs stand vertically together rather than horizontally. In 1784 was the first year of settlement of refugee loyalist families coming north from the rebellious 13 colonies. Prior to this settlement, the area was called the Wasteland of the Crown. Where we are in eastern Ontario was part of the colony of Quebec. For the first 8 years after 1784, this was Quebec. All the land documents of that era refer to Williamstown, Lower Canada. For researchers looking for those first 8 years of the history, the documents are in Montreal. The main part of the house was added in 1804 by Reverend John Bethune, the first Church of Scotland minister in Upper Canada. He went on to have auspicious descent in that there is an unbroken line of medical doctors and clergymen down to the well-known Dr. Norman Bethune, of China fame. We are fond of saying Dr. Bethune is the best known Canadian in the world because every Chinese citizen knows who Dr. Bethune was. He did not live in the house, but Reverend John Bethune was the great-great-grandfather of Dr. Bethune, who grew up in Gravenhurst in central Ontario. The Thompson name comes from David Thompson, a cartographer, map maker, and explorer who worked for the Northwest Company in the historic fur trade of Canada. He lived in the house from 1815 to 1836. He is widely accepted as the world's greatest mapmaker who ever lived. The house is owned and protected by the Ontario Heritage Trust in Toronto. We give tours through the summer, easily obtained by ringing the doorbell and saying that you love David Thompson. We cannot do any structural changes to the Heritage Trust maintains the building. Being the oldest house in Ontario, the fabric of it is quite precious. Outside the back door, there's a large cast iron pot. When Mr. Thompson farmed here during his retirement, he had 24 kettle pot ashery. Branches and bark from clearing of the land were burned to produce ashes. The ashes were leached in barrels, then evaporated in the resulting solution in a large iron pot on a tripod over the fire. This left a white residue called pot ash, potassium carbonate, which often was used to make soap and further dried to create pearl ash, a chemical that was exported to England for bleaching cotton and wool. Continue walking along the road past the original carriage shed on your right. The inner windows of the house are original, but the outer storm windows are Victorian. You can see the striations in the inner window. They are crown glass, spun in a disc, then cut into panes. The property was sold to the McLennan Robertson family in 1834, and they kept it for over 100 years. The third part of the house, with its sun porch, is a 1913 rebuild of the original end of the main house. On the front lawn, there is a blue marker sign from the Ontario Heritage Trust discussing the history of the house. We recommend you take the time to read it. Looking towards the house, you can see the original Georgian door. The unusual roof is made of tin-dipped copper sheets. The sheets are crimped around each one, so the nails are hidden. Everything is on an angle to offset the nail placement in the underlying boards. Peter Ferguson had 9 children living in the original house, while the Reverend John Bethune had 10 children living in the main house. One of the Bethune descendants was the noted Canadian actor Christopher Plummer. We'll now walk to the St. Andrew's United Church. From the driveway of the Bethune Thompson House, turn left on John Street. You will be walking across the edge of the Raisin River, originally called Rivière aux Raisins, because before settlement, the area was logged by the French from Lower Canada. This river flows into the St. Lawrence River at Lancaster and is the only river in Ontario to do so. The early Scottish settlers called the river Awangu, or Black River in Gaelic. This was because of the giant elm and willow trees formed a crown across the river, creating a dense shade. It is said that little boys could scurry across the tops of those trees from one side to the other. Boat passage between Lancaster and Williamstown was spent in a dappled tunnel filled with bird songs. The site of Williamstown was part of the land grant from the Crown to Sir John Johnson. Across the river, you can see his manor house. He was a British loyalist and military leader during the American Revolution. A wealthy landowner with properties in Lower Canada and the United States, he built the manor house between 1784 and 1792 and named the village after his father, Sir William. At the time, Sir John Johnson was the second largest landholder in North America after William Penn. At the curve of the road is the site of the first mill in the river built by Sir John Johnson. This mill was situated at the bend of the river, so there is quite a large mill pond where the dam was in place. On this side of the river was a grist mill, and on the other side was the sawmill. In 1903, the grist mill became a steam-driven carding mill. A few years later, the Ogilvy Mill was built in Montreal, centralizing the carding mill process and putting the small local mills out of business. You can still see remnants of the mill in the river. Further upriver, there were mills in Martinstown and St. Andrews. The Martinstown grist mill still exists and is being made into a museum. Still existing here is one building from the time when the mill was used for carding fabric. It is a wooden building with a blue roof right across the road from New Life Mills. There is another blue historical plaque for more information. Continue walking to Church Street and St. Andrew's United Church. Originally built as the log church in 1787 by the Reverend John Bethune, the work on the present stone church was started in early 1812, but was interrupted by the War of 1812 and finished in 1818. The bell in the steeple was inscribed as donated by Sir Alexander Mackenzie of the Northwest Company. There are three historic plaques here, one for the church cemetery, which reads, "Tread softly, stranger, reverently draw near. The vanguard of a nation slumbers here." A second refers to the church and the bell and the longevity of the ministers. The final plaque refers to Duncan Cameron, who was the Northwest Company enforcer at the time of the Red River Massacre, also known as the Selkirk Massacre. There are many significant graves in the cemetery if you have time to explore. In the church itself, please admire the beautiful arched Palladian windows. The frames are original, and most of the glass is original as well. With the balconies, the church could seat 800 people. Exiting the church, turn right and go to the first street on the left, Warren Street. This is one of the four streets in the world named after Admiral Sir Peter Warren. He was the uncle of Sir William Johnson of New York. Irish by birth, he oversaw the British forces at the taking of Louisbourg. Eventually, he had several thousand acres of land near Albany, New York, on the Hudson River. He brought his nephew, William Johnson, out to North America to clear and manage that land. Continue down Warren Street to the site of the oldest continuous agricultural fair in Canada. An early map of Williamstown from the time of when Sir John Johnson was leasing all the village lots shows that many of the properties still have the same family names. The current fairground was entitled Fair Place of Williamstown, and the fair recently celebrated its 200th anniversary. With exhibits, programs, competitions, and entertainment representing the rural agricultural way of life, thousands of people yearly attend this heritage fair with its family-friendly atmosphere. The current use of the land is under a codicil that if Williamstown ever ceases to have an agricultural fair, the land must be reverted to the current Johnson Baronet of New York, Sir Guy Johnson, who lives in England. We keep in touch with the family. The original fair was held in 1818. For 4 years prior to that, the Highland Society of Canada used the land for their events. That society was incorporated in St. Raffles by William McGilvery of the Northwest Company and Bishop MacDonnell. They met in St. Raffles on a stormy winter day to incorporate the society. McGilvery brought the charter of the society from the Highland Society of London. Continue around the corner onto Bethune Avenue. Across the river is St. Mary's Catholic Church. The pioneer settlements of Glengarry were church-oriented, and Williamstown was originally affiliated with the Protestant Church of Scotland. St. Mary's was built in 1847 as a mission station for the Catholic Church at St. Raffles. St. Mary's has a remarkable stained glass window dedicated to the 8 Canadian martyrs. It is a sight to behold with daylight coming into it, showing the actual massacre of the Jesuits by the Iroquois at Saint-Marie-aux-Irons in Midland, Ontario. In 1930, those martyrs were elevated to sainthood. We are ending our tour now at the Glengarry Nor'westers Loyalist Museum. This brief introduction to Williamstown was created to whet your appetite for more information. Consider returning to spend more time exploring this fascinating historical town. Please continue your journey with the tour of the museum